Hello, my friends. This is Andy and Hedia coming to you live from Orange County, California on this great Saturday, October 9th.
It's the day of the Heritage Parade.
In Placentia.
In Placentia.
A huge parade. Thousands of people come from all over the world.
The world, just yes. To participate in the Placentia Heritage Parade. Yeah. My daughter was cheering in the parade, walking in the procession.
Very good.
Yes. Good beginning to the day.
Yes, it was awesome. And then they ended up walking back a mile and a half.
Yes.
Which was good for them.
Good for them.
Yes.
When's the last time the kids walked anywhere?
I love to see teenagers getting out there and being somewhere other than in their room.
On a device.
On a device. It's good to get them out of the house.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I lost my train of thought. I had something I was going to share.
No, why don't we do the devotional? We can share later. People are here to hear a devotional.
That look. I love the look. Living Fearless. Oh my gosh. Smith Wigglesworth
we devotional. We are the Living Fearless devotional. Reading Smith Wigglesworth.
Smith Wigglesworth devotional is where we're at. Get that book. That way you have it handy. And we are reading from Smith Wigglesworth for October 9th. The title of today's devotional is Looking for the Messiah. The reference is Matthew 11:3. Are you coming? Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? The scripture reading is Matthew 11:12-24. Smith says, I want you to see how satanic power can work in the mind. Satan came to John when he was in prison. I find that Satan can come to any of us. Oh. But I want to prove that we have a greater power than Satan's in imagination, in thought, in everything. Satan came to John the Baptist in prison and said to him, don't you think you have made a mistake? Here you are in prison. Isn't there something wrong with the whole business? After all, you may be greatly deceived about being a forerunner of the Christ. I find men who might be giants of faith, who might be leaders of society, who might rise to subdue kingdoms, who might be noble among princes, but they are defeated because they allow the suggestions of Satan to dethrone their better knowledge of the power of God. Oh, may God help us.
God help us.
John sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? How could Jesus send those men back with a stimulating truth, with a personal effective power that would stir their hearts to know that they had met him about whom all the prophets had spoken? What would declare it? How would they know? How could they tell it? This is from Matthew 11:4-5. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Mm. And when they saw the miracles and wonders and heard the gracious words he spoke as the power of God rested upon him, they were ready to believe.
Yes.
The thought for today, unless we are filled or divinely insulated with the power of God, we may be defeated by the power of Satan.
Oh, God forbid.
I want to go back to this part that we talked about before we went live. As a matter of fact, before we went and picked up your daughter, Zara. Our daughter, Zara, it's still hard. I'm getting used to it. We do it all the time.
Forever. Yes. Yeah. I'm okay with it. It takes time.
My daughter, Zara. And that is where in Matthew 11:4-5, it gives something to the person who's ailing with something. So it gives the people that that are blind, gives them the ability to see. He grants that miracle. The lame, they can walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. So there's always the opposite, raised up. And raised up. They do both.
Yes.
They have to do both.
Raised.
But then when it comes to the poor, he doesn't give them money or make them wealthy.
No. But he does make them wealthy.
Well, he gives them wealthy with things.
Right.
But here he says, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
Makes them rich in the kingdom, but does not give them material wealth. You're right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But then it goes on to say, and when they saw the miracles and wonders and heard the gracious words, these are all, this is preaching, right? They've been preached.
Yes.
Right? The wonders and heard the gracious words he spoke as the power of God rested upon him. They were now ready to believe. That's the gift.
It is.
That's what's given to even to the poor. And I've talked about this before. It's been several months since I've mentioned this, but I know when you, you know, either missionaries or people that within our church, like at Friends Church, you know, they go to these places like India
right.
to build schools and that kind of stuff. And the people that they have in their churches that have come to Christ, and they revisit them every couple, you know, two times a year, every year, when they go, those people are so filled with joy. And they're the poorest people on the planet.
Amazing, isn't it?
Right. And that's what you get from having the gospel preached to you. It's not about about things, monetary things, but having the gospel preached to you is the gift, is the amazing power of God.
Absolutely.
Gives them joy.
Absolutely.
What do you get from this devotion?
To be afraid of Satan, for one. but what I love about the Bible is, and the fact that it's the infallible word of God, is that there is always hope in looking back at the apostles and the prophets. So John is described as a great prophet. You know, he's the forerunner to Christ. He's in baptizing Jesus, sees a dove, the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, God saying, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased," a voice out of heaven. And yet he goes to prison and gets deceived by Satan and comes out and tells his disciples, "Hey, go find out if that's really Jesus. Oh. Is he really the one, or am I waiting for somebody else?" You know, and in a different book of the gospel, Jesus gets upset when the question comes. You know, because he's just like, "What do you, haven't you seen the miracles I've performed?" Mm. And it's just a reminder to all of us, one, that we all could be tempted, and two, that it's a constant reminder that these are ordinary people that do extraordinary things. And it should be encouragement for us that we could be ordinary people that do extraordinary things with the power of God.
So can I go back to what you said just a few minutes ago?
Sure.
That you, what you get from this is that we should be afraid of the devil.
Yes.
I'm going to say
afraid.
That
I mean, I know you don't like the word afraid.
No.
But we should be reminded.
We should be afraid of ourselves getting back into a place where the devil has
exactly
the ability to get to us.
Exactly. That's right.
When we have the Holy Spirit and God dwells within us, we should not be afraid of anything, and even the devil, because the devil will be repelled.
Well, from us. Yeah, but you know what I meant, right?
I do. Okay. But I wanted to visit that, because, you know, we have to talk here for half an hour.
No,
but I want others to understand that when you have God, I want to make sure that the message is clear what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That the Bible tells us all the time not to be fearful. In the title of our devotional is Living Fearless.
Right. I am sorry.
No.
I didn't really mean afraid. I'm never, ever afraid. No, but it is better to describe it that way, is that we have to be on our guard all the time not to let Satan get the best of our heart and our minds.
Yes, absolutely.
They cannot take our spirit. That is under seal by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But he can play tricks on our mind. Any time that we kind of lose sight of our focus, that's when he creeps back in. And I love the way our pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs, has described it often, is that he doesn't come with horns and jump out from behind a closet and like, rah, and scream at you.
Isn't
that scary? Is that scary? He just slowly creeps in your life. He's just, it makes you take a step. And you're like, "Well, that wasn't so bad. I think I'm kind of safe here." And then you take another step, and it's like, before you know it, you're like, "What? How did I get here? Oh, how did I get here?" So it's so important for us to constantly be vigilant about our faith and not being subjected to so many
absolutely
temptations.
Just want to say hi to Peggy Marie Hartman, who's watching from North Carolina.
Love North Carolina.
Yes.
Home of my first church.
Yes. One of my favorite places. I love going there.
It's beautiful.
We should move there.
No.
Nope. We're not leaving.
We're not leaving.
I'm going to maybe, if we have time, I'm going to give you an analogy that I came up with in the shower.
Oh, okay. That,
about leaving. About.
I want to hear.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But we need to go through the scripture first. So important. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into, oh, did we leave some of these up? Oh, no. I can get rid of this one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. We need to organize our tabs here, but we're going to read Matthew 11, 12 through 24, which is referenced in today's devotional.
And we have read this in one of the devotionals before. So Smith Wigglesworth is taking us through another angle. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is the Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, oh, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, oh, look, a glutton, a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they didn't repent. And this is the Lord speaking. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repenting long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have still remained until this day. But I say to you that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. What a curse that is. And I think it's because the miracles of Christ were performed and they still didn't believe. As opposed to Sodom, who just had Lot.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Hebrews 11:33.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. It's a really beautiful passage. I encourage you to read Hebrews 11 because it talks about all of the great miracles that were performed by prophets through faith.
Oh, then we did the same thing there.
Yeah.
And then the same thing there. Oh, there's only two.
Yep.
Awesome. So one of the things that I want to visit, and I hope that it matches the devotional in the sense of, you know, that we don't get too far off track from what this is saying. But, you know, in my walk, and we've gone through these changes, you and I. Like you were former Muslim. I was born into a Catholic family. And then I kind of wandered around aimlessly with not calling anything.
Tarried
around. And then my walk as a religious man, a Christian man, merely a man walking around a Christian church, calling myself a Christian. And then coming to faith over the last couple of years, truly. I mean, 25, 30 years walking around as a Christian, thinking I was a Christian when in fact I was not. And then only the last 2 years.
Amazing.
Walking with God, with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside me. Two different times in my life. And how that reflects how other people see me is different then than it is now. And where we can see that most for me is in how the children deal with me, have dealt with me. And Hedy and I have had these conversations about where we were in the past and where we are now. And in this whole discussion between yesterday's devotional, the day before's devotional, and today's devotional is really understanding, you know, once you are in this position of being a godly man or a godly woman with God dwelling inside you, people approach you completely different. And my children, I know probably did not feel that they could share with me many things about their personal life, that maybe they made the wrong decision or maybe some problem they were having with their friend in the old man.
Yes.
Because they would come to me and there would be this, it wasn't the same. They were looking at a man that wasn't trustworthy, that wasn't somebody that they had faith would give them feedback other than ridicule, maybe, or anger, right, or punishment.
The fruit of the spirit, the kindness, right, gentleness, forbearance, self-control.
And so we had this discussion and why, and we asked why that, why is certain things happening now and they weren't happening then? And I think that that's the thing. When I was walking around, sure, as a man before, it was all about me. Not that it isn't now, but it was, right, it was about my business. It was about marketing. It was about getting the next customer. It was about being a police officer and, yes, acting a certain way as a law enforcement officer that has this little bit of a barrier. Right. And so
a little barrier
that was very hardened. And in all of these devotionals over the last couple of days is really important to understand that once you have the Holy Spirit inside you, once Christ is with you and it really begins to become a daily part of your life, like it has become ours, yes, people really begin to see you differently. It's like the analogy with the dogs, with me with dog training. It is the you walk into a room and at one point you were unapproachable as your children came home from school. Hi, Dad. And they ran off because they didn't want to get in trouble for something they said or something that they did. Now it's completely different because now you're more inviting. You have a completely different aura around you.
I love that.
That makes people be more attracted to you because, yes, they can feel that it's different. You're different.
Exactly.
And when you walk into a room. So I love the discussion.
His presence that,
yes,
draws people towards you too.
Yes. So
I love that.
So it's so much better.
It's such a better life. Sure. For sure. It's much better. Have your friends noticed? Did the people in your Bible study notice at all?
I mean, they you could see their faces light up when I was telling the story. I went in a little bit more detail because I had a Bible. I have a Bible study on Saturday mornings with men from Yorba Linda Friends Church that I'm involved in. And two of them know me from the past. And as I was telling the story, it was on a Zoom call, but you can see, yeah, the look in their faces and going, yeah, you know, like they're like, aww, I know what you're saying. And then another man said, oh, my gosh, I understand completely what it is you're saying. This is different. I mean, I was walking around a Christian church for 25 years thinking I was a Christian and wondering why my children wouldn't share with me or even afraid of me, you know, because I wasn't, I did not allow the Holy Spirit to dwell inside me.
Yeah.
I pushed away. Satan, welcome. Jesus, no.
We'll pull Jesus out of our toolbox when we need him.
Yes. Though. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. So I think these past few days in this devotional have really opened my eyes to that truth.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? How have the last week, or, you know, maybe we have a week in review of devotionals.
Week in review. Wow.
How is this week's devotion? Has it spoken to you in any way?
Well, of course. They all do, but to me, it's a recalibration. Mm-hmm. I guess it is coming back into focus, the manifesting the righteousness of Christ. And something that we touched on yesterday that just keeps coming back to me is there's this ideal, there is this perfection that we are striving towards that the Lord has ordained for us. We won't achieve the final perfection until we meet him, but we have the potential to get pretty close. Hmm. And I'm curious what that person looks like. I want to get towards that person. I want to get towards the ideal that the Lord Jesus Christ has ordained me to be capable of, mm-hmm, if that makes sense. Again, going back to he has predestined, he foreknew, he predestined, he chose, he justified, he glorifies. What does the glorified Hedia look like? What kind of person is she? What does she accomplish? What is, I know the general terms of my purpose, but I want to see the specifics of it.
Right.
You know, I know that God is so powerful. In, I mean, we little people down here have seen just a, not even a fraction. What's less than a fraction?
Like quintessimal, infinitesimal.
A part of his power.
Yes.
And what he's capable of when you, when somebody creates the universe and, you know, everything, all the animals, the earth, the oceans, the mountains, that kind of stuff. And so I am amazed at what he's done with me so far. Like, to me, like, wow, that is, I mean, if I were to look back, you know, if we, the two of us would be standing side by side, you'd go, oh my gosh, you're nothing like that guy. But I'm just thinking, he's just scratched the surface. Like, what is possible?
Yeah.
Like, what, like you were saying, like, what does the next version of us look like?
Right. Well, and it's funny because I see that on your face when I say something to you that's, you know, like if something's upset me or concerned me, I see this expression on your face where you're like, oh my God, if you only knew how much, like how grateful you should be. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're, I get that. I get that because I've been there. You know what I mean? So I've been a crappy person and think that this person is so much better than that person that you should just be grateful for what you get, you know, but I don't have a point of reference for that person. You know, I met you since you've been spirit filled. Now, mind you, you're growing tremendously, but it is, it's funny to watch you as you go through this progression because you hold your tongue a lot by saying, oh my, and you're sometimes taken by surprise. Like, wait, what? That wasn't mean or that wasn't unkind. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and I can see you running through in your mind being like, oh, if you think that was unkind, wow.
Like, that was so nice.
That was so nice. So I want to commend you for having the patience to go through the journey, but it is, it's fun to watch.
Well, God was kind to me. He allowed me to be changed as an individual first, and then now be changed as a husband, as opposed to trying to make me do it all at once.
Yes.
Like, he didn't wait. He said, well, let's wait till he gets married and then change him. That would have been much harder.
Yes.
For me. So I was already, at least I had already had started that, that progression of change. And then now, I mean, being a husband is entirely different than being just a dad with a bunch of kids. Right.
Tell me about it. Cause I had gotten that down to like a science a little bit. I was the church girl with the kid. I had like gotten a rhythm going and I was good.
Now you're what, a man.
Yeah. With five kids. Yep, I'm an OC mom of a blended family.
So just if you're watching for the first time or listening on the podcast for the first time, I'm I was a single dad with five children when Hedia met me. She was a single mom with one child. And so
you were always outnumbered in the Falco house.
So that's a much bigger change. Yes. And I understand God has given me you know, has whispered in my ear often, as he does, about just understand where her, understand your perspective.
Oh, try so to. Sweet.
I mean, it's impossible for me to do that.
Just have grace.
Have grace and understand that, Andy, you're only taking on one, you know, two additional people. She's taking on, what is it, five, six additional people.
It's funny.
And moving to Orange County. You moved from LA, Ventura County down to Orange County, which is, it's like a different state.
It really is. I remember when my friends came to visit, they're like, whoa, this is like another country over here. This is like, where are we?
There's freedom here.
Yeah.
There's freedom, really, but there's a lot of people with either shorts or long pants and flip flops.
Yes.
It's almost like we're in like a tropical area too.
Like, like it's a cement Hawaii.
Right.
Oh my
God. Ooh, all right. Anything else about this devotional that is striking out at you or giving you some thoughts? Or any of you that are watching, if you have any comments or thoughts about this devotional, how does it speak to you that you could type in a few words?
We talked about that, about giants of men that were giants of faith, leaders of society, who rise to subdue kingdoms and fall because of the temptations of Satan. And
And it's usually what power, right?
Money, wealth, women.
Women, yeah.
Right? Is that it is...
They weren't as attractive when they didn't have power and money, right?
I'm sorry. That's the Beverly Hills chick in me that comes out occasionally because I look at some of these dudes that are accused of like having an affair. And I look at them and I was like, oh my God, you were probably such a dork growing up. You know what I mean? And now you're like rock star pastor dude and women are like throwing flowers at your feet and the temptation's overwhelming.
Right.
You know, as opposed to somebody, I'll take for an example, like yourself, who's been there. been there, done that. Like, it's not like the dorky kid that like never had a girlfriend growing up and was always, you know what I mean? That were the shiny toy or the lust is new. It's literally new as opposed to having to fight lust most of your adult life. You know what I mean? Whether or not we gave into the temptation, we fought it our whole lives. Not to say we've conquered it. You can't conquer any sins. You always have to be on guard.
That's the downfall of some police. First of all, I was a police officer for 21 years. And you were in law enforcement too. Yes. But that's the great downfall. It's not the riches that comes from being a law enforcement officer. It's the power that comes from being a law enforcement officer.
Right.
And what you're saying, I was fortunate that I had been in sports and, you know, all this stuff. But so when I became a cop, there wasn't that much of a difference for me. But you see what you're talking about, guys that, you know, whatever reason, they never left mom and dad's house before they got hired as a law enforcement officer. They never really, really, you know, popular in school or whatever that might be.
Right.
Now they're suddenly police officers. And those sometimes, unfortunately, the ones who fall first.
Yeah.
And get caught up into, you know, pulling an attractive woman over and saying, you know, you can get out of this ticket if you give me your phone number.
Right.
You can get out of this ticket if you meet me.
Or he doesn't prompt it, but she does.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure. That happens constantly.
That happens constantly. Got to be very careful for those Jezebels out there.
I cannot tell you how many times I pulled somebody over and she's going, you know. Right? Or she opens the door and gets out of the car in her mini skirt, you know, and says, you know, you're not really taking me to jail, are you? I go, no, I wasn't, but now for sure I am. And they go, what? And then they go, you're an... Bah, 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 right. Here, beep, beep, beep. But yeah, that temptation is so, so off. And then the retaliation that you get from not giving into their advances that then they go and say that you were the one who advanced on them.
Wow.
It's a crazy little world, that law enforcement. But again, when we're going back to this, you know, you're constantly bombarded with it and you have to deal with it.
Right? Yes.
And as a godly man, I so badly wish I could see how Andy, the police officer, would be different than, you know, as a godly man, as opposed to the one. Now, I never got in trouble. I never did any of those things. Like I said, if they advanced, I would always give them a ticket or I'd always arrest them. There was never, when that started, there was no choice because I never wanted to be accused of letting them off because of an advancement or because of the
wink
in their eyes. So it always was the opposite. I was always afraid that they would, you know, it would be bad.
Makes sense.
And they go, I can't believe you're arresting me. I said, well, if you wouldn't have done what you did, I would have arrested. I would have given you a ticket. But now you're giving me no choice. But I wonder on just so many levels how things would have been different.
And the Lord says there is no temptation that the Lord does not provide a means of escape.
Oh, wow.
But that's the thing is that for spirit-filled believers, he leaves a crack open in a door for you to run away. Mm. But how many times are we faced with temptations that we don't run from them and instead get stuck in them?
And it's constant in working as a police officer. It's not daily, but I would say it's pretty close to being every day, whether it's with a person or even financial. Because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I discovered a boatload of money.
You're like, I just take one small stack. Yeah.
I think that being raised a Catholic, thank God I was raised a Catholic. Because there's guilt with everything. And I think that's what saved me so many times. Because there was like, I don't know how many thousands of dollars that I found hidden in a very nasty bar.
I remember you telling
that. That nobody would have ever even known.
Right.
I mean, the bad guy would have known. But what's he going to do? He goes, hey, I'm a drug dealer. Right? and I had 500 pounds of cocaine. Yeah, give me my money back. I put it in my car and it could have easily made its way into my personal vehicle at the end of the night. Right. But instead, I booked it in. But it was the Holy Spirit that was in me. But also could have been my being raised as a Catholic and the guilt that you're put through as a Catholic.
Wow.
That kept me from doing it. I would like to think it was the Holy Spirit that was just.
But your Holy Spirit wasn't in you then.
Maybe.
He was beside you.
He was beside me. He was like.
I mean, Jesus has always been with us. Yeah. You just. Yeah, like, I have something planned for you.
And you can't do it from prison.
Yes. I was afraid of casting out demons. And so that was the Lord standing next to me going like, daughter, don't do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You did it. This nasty demon's going to jump inside of you. I'm not in you yet. You can't fight it off. Please just leave this thing alone. And I'd be like, peace out. I want nothing to do with this demon.
Woo. Oh my gosh. That was good. I'm so glad you remembered or reminded me of that part about the men in, what was it? What they call them? In high
great
place.
Men who?
Yeah. Great men.
Giants of faith.
Giants of faith. Oh my gosh. There's just so many men, unfortunately, worship leaders. What's the gentleman who wrote all the books and was a very big
Ravi. Oh my goodness.
Just so sad.
Ravi. Ugh. This is horrible.
I know.
So Carl Lentz, you know, and it's just, it's horrible when you think about, actually, there was one pastor that I followed who confesses to doing this to his wife repeatedly. Mm. And, one, I feel terribly sorry for her, but he describes his childhood as very broken. He was sexually assaulted as a child, but, it seems to me when I look at it, it's the temptation because he's surrounded by, like, you know, you talked about how, what kind of car he bought his wife, a Ferrari, and the clothing, the shoes, that he grew up very, very poor. But I could tell by looking at him now or just searching through his social media that he's wearing $1,000 tennis shoes now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That kind of excess and wealth and attention is something a lot of people, most people are not used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so despite the fact that your gifting comes from the Lord and you're supposed to be holy for your Lord, God is holy, you give into these things because the temptation is too strong.
Right. I get worried when I see a pastor wearing skinny jeans, no socks and loafers. That gets me a little worried.
Why?
I don't know. I think they're heading another way.
Well, no, honestly, when I saw him in $1,000 tennis shoes, yeah. I was like, this is going nowhere good. Because I had nothing wrong with him having nice tennis shoes. But when I saw the $1,000 tennis shoes, I said literally to myself, this is going nowhere good. And it was like 3 months later that the next affair surfaced.
Yeah, there are always signs. Mm-hmm. There's always those little signs that something's going wrong.
So guard yourselves, folks. Yes. Guard yourselves against the attacks of Satan, where none of us are immune and none of us are safe. We all have to remain vigilant because these are giants of faith. I mean, look at King David. I mean, King David had like hundreds of concubines, you know, beautiful, beautiful women that were at his constant disposal. And yet he looks across a rooftop and decides to steal his general's wife.
Wow. And that goes horribly wrong quickly.
Horribly wrong.
It's like so bad.
If we take the general's wife, it's not going to go anywhere good. Yes, Piggy says, thank God for his grace and mercy. May we keep close to the Lord. Amen. Amen.
And, it's, you know, we're not saying it's easy.
No,
it's not. It's work. There's always something that has to be done. Something, you have to take some action. Open the Bible, get into the devotional, stop and pray. Get into a men's group so that you're with men. Get into a study with your wife so that you guys are
aligned
in the three braided rope.
Yes.
I always give it a different name every time I bring it up.
It's okay. I know what you're talking about.
Pray with your kids. Dinner with the kids and not give them their meals and they all separate and go all these times and pray before the meal. There's all these opportunities, but it takes those things.
Yes.
To stay close to the Lord.
That's how you build relationships. As they said in Acts, this is what struck me, because we've read it a couple times. It's come up in the devotional and it's come up in Pastor Jack's sermons, that when they were waiting for in Pentecost, waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend, because the Lord said, do not leave Jerusalem, wait for you to receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, said they were all together in one room, in one accord, breaking bread and praying. And I think back to that, not only for the way in which we treat one another as church friends, but for family. They were all together in one place, breaking bread. And it's so important for us to do that with each other and with friends too. So we're going to be breaking bread with some friends today.
Yes. Looking forward to that. Marty and Cindy. Looking forward to that. We're going to be going to Yorba Linda Friends Church for service tonight, and then we'll go to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in the morning. But after service, Marty and Cindy and us will be going out to dinner.
That's awesome.
And she'll get to meet them for the first time.
Yes.
They're really good friends of mine from church. One last thing is that, and then praying at work, you know, finding those Christians at your office, in the warehouse, wherever you may be working. And hey, let's pray before we go out and deliver the packages. Let's pray before we make decisions that may change people's lives today. What I was really encouraged to see before Friday Night Lights, the high school game, a couple weeks ago or last week, the homecoming game, is that before the game, I saw five or six of the players go towards the goalpost and they kneeled and they were praying.
Aww.
It was really, really awesome to see.
Yes.
I would like to see more of the players go, but it was a good number of them. It was at least five or six, I think.
At least.
That we saw. These are the things. These are how we were going to stay in the fight for keeping God in our country. We have to do things like that. Make sure and bring God to work, take a Bible to school, and all those things are the things that we need to do to save our world.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else, Lydia? I'm going to bring my analogy that I was going to bring up. I'll save it for another devotional.
Okay.
Wait. Well, no, just kidding. I'm trying to be better at the end. I have this habit of signing off and then not signing off. But
saying kind of like that steak preparation we saw.
Oh.
Just one more match. Oh, folks.
We'll tell you that story later too. So that gives you a reason to watch the next time. Hey, before you leave, make sure and watch this ad that we have for Edify Christian Podcast Network. It is a great app where you're going to find Christian podcasts. And although there are a lot of great names on there, they've included us on there as the very
gratuitous newbies. We've been thrown in the mix.
Yes. As the only devotional currently on the app, we are so happy to be there. And so if you need to know how to get on there, watch this video. It will show you how to get the app.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcast today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app. EDIFI.app.
All right, my friends, have a great day. If any of you are going to Yorba Linda Friends Church, we'll see you there at 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, they have a Saturday night service, and then the same service is repeated on Sunday morning. And then those of you that go to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, we'll see you tomorrow morning. And it's not changing yet, is it?
Not yet.
Okay, they got three services. They're going to be going to four services. We usually go to second service. So any of you there, if you see us there, stop by and say hi and let us know.
Hi.
That would be awesome. All right. We love
God
you guys.
God bless.
God bless. Take care.
Bye.